If our minds and attitudes can be changed when we are young, it can affect our whole life. I would much rather speak to children your age than older people. Because it's like once a tree is grown, if it is bent, you can't straighten it. But if it's growing crooked, when it is a plant, and you pull it with ropes and keep it straight, it'll grow straight. It's like that with you children are at that age where if you set the direction of your life right, it can lead you in a wonderful way throughout your life. But if you acquire wrong values at this age and you don't correct them, it can affect you later in life. A lot of people who become thieves and murderers, very often they started wrong and then their parents or their teachers never corrected them. I want to read a verse to you from the book of Proverbs. You know where that is, in the middle of the Bible. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And here it says in the book of Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse 6. It's actually instruction for parents. Train up a child in the way he should go, or the way you want him to go. And then even when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's exactly similar to the illustration of the tree I said. So, it's the way we are trained when we are children that's going to affect us later on in life. So, if we acquire values that God wants us to have, it will make a lot of difference. So I want to share with you these 3 mornings, 3 laws, and demonstrated in the life of Jesus. I personally believe the greatest human being that ever lived on earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. God became man and demonstrated to us how man should live. Many people know that Jesus died for the sins of the world, but that was at the end of his life. But if that was the only purpose for God sending Jesus to earth, God could have sent him to earth just like he made Adam as a full-grown man. But he sent Jesus as a baby, and he grew up like a little boy and had to work as a carpenter, and then went into preaching. That was to show us how God wants little children to live, how God wants young people to live, and how God wants adults to live. That's why he allowed Jesus to live as a man, to demonstrate to us, for people of all ages, the way God wants man to live. So what we learn from his life, first of all, is what I call the law of humility. The greatest men in the world are always the humblest. Whenever I see a proud man, I know I see in him a person who feels very insecure, inferior, and wants to show off, because that's the only way he can prove that he's better than anybody else. But a person who has real ability, he doesn't have to show off. It's manifest straight away. He doesn't have to pump himself up in the eyes of others and say so many things about himself or pretend that he's very great. So the law of humility is the greatest thing. That's why you see in Jesus' life, even at the end of his life, the last day he was on earth and he was having a meal with his disciples, and he saw them, they all wore sandals those days, not shoes. And the roads were not like our roads. They were mud roads, and people walked into a house with sandals. Their feet were dirty. So they take off their sandals. And there'd always be a slave at the door of these rich houses with a bucket of water to wash the feet of all the dinner guests before they sat at the table. So when Jesus and his disciples came to this house which he had asked somebody to reserve for him. Of course, there was no slave there because he didn't want anybody else at this dinner. But the bucket of water was there and a towel. And so Jesus immediately, think of that thoughtfulness. I mean, he was the greatest among them. But he immediately took that bucket of water and the towel and went to each disciple and knelt down at their feet and washed. That was the last day of his life on earth. After all the fantastic miracles he had done of raising the dead and healing thousands of people, all his disciples knew, this is the greatest man we've ever known. And yet he was the humblest. And there Jesus demonstrated to us what is the greatest value that we need to acquire. I want to read something about Christ in Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 5 of Philippians 2, you must have this attitude in yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. And there are three things mentioned there. First of all, that although he was God, he came down and became a man. I mean, even if he had come down and become a king, if God came down on earth and became a king, that itself would have been a fantastic step of humility. So that is the first step Jesus took. He became a human being. God became a human being in order to save us. But that's not all. It says once he became a human being, it says the next, he became a servant, a slave. That's even another step of humility. Because slaves were the lowest level of people in society in those days. That was step two. And then it says he died a death on a cross. In those days, you know, slaves were not crucified. Only criminals were crucified by the Romans. That means the people were totally unfit to live. They were not imprisoned. They were crucified, killed. And Jesus took that place. He wasn't a criminal. He was the purest man that walked on the earth. But the Jewish leaders were angry with him and gave him over to crucifixion. Of course, finally, he died for our sins. But that was another step. You know, Jesus could have died for our sins in a more decent way. I've thought of that many times. I said, Lord Jesus, you came to earth to die for our sins, but why did it have to be in such a humiliating way where you're whipped and spat upon and crucified and stripped and hanged for all those people? That was another step of humility. So in the life of Jesus, I see three stages of humility. God became man became a servant, and then he became almost, I mean, in the eyes of others, he died like a criminal. So I see there, from birth to death, what God has shown us is the greatest value that we need to have. And like I said, if you keep the tree straight, when it's a plant, it'll grow that way. So if you can acquire that quality now, it's difficult, particularly if you're very clever and intelligent, and you get prizes in prize-giving day. It's very important to recognize any ability you have is given by God. God has created this universe, you know, there's no one living in any other planet. I don't believe it. Or in the stars. We wonder why God has created all these huge stars and millions of miles of space, and all God is interested in is a small planet called Earth. I think part of the reason is for us to look up into the sky sometimes and see how great God is and how small we are. I do that sometimes. I look up into the sky so that I will always remember that on this speck of dust called planet Earth, I am another small speck of dust, really. And God is so almighty. And it's always good to recognize how small we are. Then we will not try to show off to others that we are better or superior. And the wonderful thing about that is that God rewards this. It says in a verse, and you don't have to look it up, it's in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, which says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's a great verse, even if you don't remember the reference. Remember this principle. God is always opposed to the proud. 1 Peter 5:5. But he gives grace to the humble. And I learned that pretty early in my life, because I said, Lord, I want grace in my life. And the way I pictured it in my mind, what does it mean when it says God gives grace to the humble? See, we face a lot of problems on earth. There are problems externally. There are temptations that come up from within us. There's a devil there to trouble us. And there are evil people also who may create problems for us. But if God is on our side, it doesn't matter if the whole world is against us. And God giving grace to us means he comes behind me and pushes me forward so that no opposition can stand before me. I can overcome everything. I can go over every mountain. I can cross every river. I mean, metaphorically speaking. I can go through every trial in life because God is behind me, supporting me. That is the meaning of God gives grace. But he doesn't give it to everyone. He gives it to the humble. So if you want grace in your life from God, there's only one thing you need. Humility. You may lack. It's not intelligence God's looking for. Intelligence is good. Intelligence is something we are born with. And you can't really add too much to it in your life. Hard work is something we acquire by habit, but you cannot look down on someone because he's less intelligent. So God doesn't give his strength, his power to the intelligent. He gives it to the humble. Everyone can be humble. Everyone can't be intelligent. Everyone can't come first in the class. But everyone can be humble. I remember when my children used to come back from prize giving day, and after they got their prizes, once we got home, the first thing we would do would bow down before God and pray. And I would tell my four boys, I said, you must recognize that whatever ability you have is given by God. Don't ever forget that, especially on a day when you receive prizes. Bow down before God and say, Lord, we thank you for this gift you've given us. It's your ability. And then I also would tell him this. There are probably 800 students sitting there who never got prizes today. But some of them may be very good and kind and helpful. And that is the thing that's going to count in the day when life is over and we stand before Jesus Christ to be judged. He's not going to ask you how much you got in physics and history and mathematics. It's important to study those subjects on earth. But ultimately, when you stand before him, is the values of helpfulness and kindness and humility and love that he's going to assess us for. And I needed to remind my children of that, lest they get puffed up with any accomplishment in their class. I want to share that with you as well. Remember, ultimately, in the final examination, the final examination, which is the day when you and I stand before Jesus Christ as our judge, and he's going to reward us, humility. The one who's got humility is the one who's going to receive a prize. And on earth, God supports him from behind. And when it says God opposes the proud, what it means is that he comes in front of the person and pushes him back. I don't want God to push me back. And there are so many things on earth and so many people trying to push me back. I don't want God also to join them and push me back. But the Bible says he'll do that. He hates pride. He doesn't hate proud people. No. God loves everybody. But he hates pride. I mean, something like your mother may love you, but she hates the sickness in you. And if you've got a terrible sickness, your mother will hate it. She's not a good mother if she doesn't hate the sickness, but she loves you still. That's how God is. He loves us, but he hates this sickness called pride. So that's the first law, and I hope you will remember it all your life. God gives grace to the humble. He will come behind you and support you. And so seek for humility, and the example is Jesus Christ. Jesus once told a story of two people who went to a temple to pray. And one man said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other people, or even like that crooked sinner over there. And the other crooked sinner over there, he knew he was a sinner. He bowed his head before God and said, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And Jesus said, that sinner went home declared righteous by God. And this proud man was rejected, even though his life was good in so many ways. That proud man is called a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were very good in their external life. But It was like a leaky vessel. You know, you have a vessel that, full of milk or something like that, and there's a hole in it, and everything leaks out. It was like that. All those good qualities that they had and all that they accomplished externally, because of pride, everything leaked out. And if you have pride, all your accomplishments and every other good thing you have will leak out and you'll be left empty before God. So pursue humility and look at Jesus as your example. And that is why He died on the cross, to lead us into that life which He Himself had, which He's shown us by example. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's stand up and pray. We want to be in a spirit of reverence before God as we come before Him. And take a few moments to think about what you heard just now. And pray a little prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, please help me not to forget that You give grace to the humble and You oppose the proud. Help me to value that all my life, that lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these dear young people. They have a whole life ahead of them, and what a wonderful thing it will be if they can be gripped right at this age with those most important values of life that can carry them through and make them a blessing to their family and to the world around them in the days to come, and a credit to this school. Bless each one here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.